to thank everyone that's contributed and pledged to this Indiegogo campaign. It's exciting and encouraging all at the same time. Recently, the German government has ruled in court that access to the internet is a human right. And in 2011, the United Nations has also stated that access to the internet should be a human right. I believe this, that internet is very important, and it does give us an advantage to those who are on the internet and can access it. From social networking, to talking to your family, to joining communities and being part of something, to collaboration work, to a myriad of other things, emailing and instant messaging, and the things that you and I take for granted every day for those who can access the internet. I want to take that human right one step further, though. I believe that not only should access to the internet be a human right, but accessibility to devices that help people access the internet should be a human right. That's what part of this Indiegogo campaign is doing. Sonar is going to bring accessibility to these devices for people in developing countries, third world countries, all throughout the world, access these devices and get online. And who knows what will happen when they finally reach the internet and when they can start emailing and instant messaging, reach friends and talk to people they've never spoken with before, when they can start collaboration on different works and projects. So continue to help me with this Indiegogo campaign. It's indiegogo.com/sonar. Indiegogo.com/SONAR. And again, thank you for all that have pledged, and please spread the word and use the social networking buttons on the site to spread this word about this campaign. Thank you all for contributing and pledging, and I'm looking forward to see what happens in the end.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux to the Rest of Us, episode 122. It's a show about Linux, all sorts of Linux goodness, hardware, software, news, anything we wanted to bring in the realm of Linux to you. We do it every week. And by we, I mean myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, a.k.a. the Ice Machine. And, of course, I'm blessed to have in our presence every week teaching me about Linux and helping me teach you about Linux, the Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin, a.k.a. the Linux Maven. How's it going, Door?
Pretty good. I purposely took off today just to catch up with housework. I am just so discombobulated today. I mean, nothing in my head is going right. I mean, I asked you earlier tonight, how was your Friday, and it's only Tuesday.
Right. Maybe you got so much done, you actually went into the future. What day is it for you, Dor?
I don't know. It's a day that my kids were good.
There you go.
Always a plus.
There you go. So, well, but I mean, do you at least feel that your day was productive? Did you get some stuff done? Was it worth taking a day off work?
I got a lot of stuff done. Not much that I personally wanted to get done, but stuff that the house needed done.
There you go. I went and bought myself some food. I got a 5-gallon jug of water filled up, and I did my taxes. That's about it. And I held down my couch because I was under the impression it was going to float away, so I sat on it all most of the day, and it never floated away.
Good job.
Yeah. It's all about the little victories.
Exactly. We've got to take them when we can get them.
That's right. And speaking of getting taxes done, you guys might be coming into a little bit of money soon, perhaps. Or you are responsible with your finances and you can shop and buy most of whatever you want, whenever you want. In any case, if you are planning on doing any purchasing on Amazon, please use our affiliate link, podnuts.com/Amazon, to make any of your Amazon purchases. It'll be the exact same interface, take you right to Amazon. You can make any of the purchases you were going to make anyway. However, the network will get a small commission, so you will be helping us by using that link, which once again is podnuts.com/Amazon, for any of your Amazon purchases, and we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Very cool. Very good stuff. I'll say, I once again this past week had really good mojo, I guess is all I can say. I used Amazon to buy my youngest son a couple birthday presents, and I expected it to be here in 3 to 5 days. It was literally at my door it was less than 48 hours later.
Very cool.
So I don't know how they did that, but I'll take it.
And I'll say, guys, if you are making a habit of buying on Amazon, even semi-regularly, look into getting Amazon Prime. It's $79 a year, that you get free 2-day shipping on most items on the entire site, and you also get access to their Amazon Prime video service. So I calculated about how much my first year, how much I spent on shipping, just on the few items I bought on Amazon, and I saved so much money last year by having it myself. For instance, today I used the podnos.com/Amazon link that I have just in my browser, and I ordered a few things, and they're all going to be on my doorstep on Thursday afternoon, and I didn't. And it's free 2-day shipping. So, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I guess I know why I don't have an Amazon Prime. Stupidity and laziness. But I really should, because I know, even especially the non-perishables in my house, is where we could save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Laundry detergent, paper towels, stuff like that.
You'd be surprised what you can buy on there. And it's nice, especially when my son was a newborn, we ordered baby food and subscribed to some baby food companies, got additional discounts, but it was nice to be able to schedule it to just show up.
Right.
And you'd be surprised what you do buy regularly anyway, that you can buy there, get it shipped to you for free, and even at a discount. So, look into it.
Well, and I found, thanks for bringing it up. I feel even stupider now because I believe the wife, like 2 months ago, re-upped on our warehouse store subscription for $125, I believe, a year.
Uh-huh.
So we get to go in a place where they don't do any aesthetics and the roof is really high.
Right.
I mean, they have some deals once in a while, but like the meat, you got to get in there bright and early or else it's all gone.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, definitely look into it. They're packing more value into that membership all the time. So if you haven't heard of it already, definitely go check it out. Because especially if you're a tech and you're like ordering parts all the time for clients, having the ability to have it free 2-day shipping or pay $4 and have it shipped to you overnight on top of potentially supporting Podnuts, I mean, it's just a win-win for everybody. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I got a really super quick, small, basic.
Sure.
And it's really not, this really has nothing to do with Linux, okay? This really doesn't. This has to do with life in general. And the basic gist of it is we should all listen more, take more stuff in than we, quote-unquote, regurgitate, more than we say. And it's because if you take the average, me, everybody else around me, is going to be smarter on average than myself because there's so many more of them. I always try to keep open ears about everything, and I try to listen to people's, even when it's a opinion about something, because there was some rationale to that opinion. I honestly find the less I talk is in direct correlation with how much I'm learning about everything, including happy birthday, corn shell. Corn no shell. Corn sedgy. I can never remember how to pronounce his name.
Corn no sagey, or just sage.
Sage, that's right, sage.
Yep.
Right.
Happy birthday, Sage.
It's his birthday. That's always good. But I'm sad to say I didn't get him a birthday gift. If I would have known earlier, maybe I could have gotten something off of podnos.com/Amazon.
Well, in his honor, I dedicate this episode to him.
We salute him.
Sage, episode number 122, Linux the Rest of Us, it's yours. Congratulations. And
officially retitled the Sage episode.
There you go.
Done. Okay, and I have a gift for him.
Oh.
Doesn't cost me anything, but it's still something. And it's a link over at Stack Overflow, which I don't know about you. Stack Overflow is like the anti-Yahoo Answers. Because Yahoo Answers is useless. You know, yeah. Where'd the babies come from? And, you know, just really bad, horribly bad questions there, and just as bad answers. This was a posting He was basically trying to amass a list of programming books that are freely available on the internet. And the actual title of the posting is List of Freely Available Programming Books. And there is a heck of a lot of links. And it's not necessarily Linux. It's just programmings and even more than that, like graphics, even some .NET in there, some Bash, some Android, some Auto Tools, some C Sharp, some Cold Fusion for my boy Rich out there. That's for you, Cold Fusion in the house. DB2, oh. I'm sorry, I just puked in my mouth a little bit. Sorry, I said DB2 on accident. I didn't realize I was saying it. I have to mentally prepare myself to say that. Erlang, Flex, Go, which is, I believe, a Google language that they're trying to get taken off. HTML, CSS, Java, JavaScript, and it's just more.
There must be at least 300 different books here.
It is insane. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't checked all the links. I've checked at least 15 of the links, and they all worked.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and there's even PowerShell, so we could hand that one off to Lalo and Matt, and we could not hear from them for 2 weeks while they just suck it all in.
Man. We don't hear from them for 2 weeks at a time anyway, so at least they'd be productive during their time off.
Well, I know, but I was hoping you didn't pick up on that.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll edit that out of the show.
Yeah.
And by we...
Even... I'm sorry. My eyes just got burnt.
What happened?
Windows Phone 7 programming. Programming for Windows Phone 7. Ooh, man, I wasn't ready for that one either.
Yeah. Oh.
So, everything you want, including stuff you do not want, is on this list.
Okay. I want to let you know I bit my tongue really hard because I had something to say, but it would set us off on a whole another hour-long show, and it's not going to happen.
We'll save it for the post show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, live listeners, let's just say I heard something about... Yeah, yeah. Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah.
It pays to listen
so
live.
So that is a list, to be honest. A perfect example use case, Firefox. Everybody should use all the browsers. They all have their own separate task, use, purpose, whatever. Firefox has downed them all. You can go to that link and probably download a large percentage of them easily with zero clicks. Honestly, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to download as many of them as I can and keep them in my library. So when I need them, I just click, bang, boom.
It's always nice to find a big resource like this because, I'm looking at it and, I mean, there's... Like, there's some really good Objective-C programming books on this list, which I would want to learn. And just to have a wealth of knowledge like this available at your fingertips for free, because especially if you're thinking of starting programming language, but you're not sure which one, perhaps you can boot a few of these up, check them out. I'm like, well, you know, this might suit my needs. This one's a little weird. I'm really attached to this one. Then give it a try. Because if you're talking about learning programming, at least the classic way, like going out and buying one of those books at a bookstore, I mean, you're talking 50, 60, 75, 120 bucks. That's quite the monetary investment to make. But... Having something like this is really, really cool.
Ooh, there's even a program in Lua, which I've learned I should know a little bit more. Lua, just because, Conky.
Never heard of Lua. Very cool.
It's weird. I don't even know how to explain it. It's weird. It's semi-human readable, but... clumped together in such a way it makes it hard to be human readable.
Oh, well, that sounds beautiful.
Exactly. Elegant. Elegant is the word I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, this next link, I'm not going to lie, I had to actually read it like 3 times, okay? This is what I gather from it. It's a posting that I believe actually goes back to Linux.org. Maybe. I think it does. Or Linux Foundation website, okay. The Linux Foundation basically totally rewrote the gummy boot, is what it's called. This is supposed to be a pre-bootloader that they submitted to Microsoft to get signed. Microsoft has apparently in the past said they would sign these, okay? If they do sign this bootloader and give it back to the Linux Foundation, they're going to make it available. So basically, any Linux distribution will be able to boot to a UEFI system with secure boot enabled.
All right.
So technically what this means, if this does happen, and if the distributions pick up on this, which there's no reason why they shouldn't, secure boot, quote-unquote, hurting the end user will be a thing of the past.
Yep.
It will still be a thing that organizations have to overcome, and it's still something that is not cool at all. But if this happens, at least we end users should be able to just look right past it like it doesn't even exist.
Well, and I mean, realistically, I mean, when UEFI was first announced, of course, the big, you know, everybody threw their hands up and goes, oh, they're trying to prevent us from installing Linux on the systems. But those really took a step backward and go, no, we'll just circumvent it later somehow. It'll be fine. And now that day's come. So it's very, very nice to see that happening, because it's, I hate to see any sort of restrictions on what you can do with hardware that you in fact purchase and own with your own money. Like you take it home and then they go, no, you can't do this with it. You have to do what was intended because we gave it to you. No, I bought it. It's mine. So to have it be across the board, any Linux distro or any BSD, anything can be thrown on this now, as opposed to just a handful of them that have temporarily found a way to get in. It's just one more step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned, and I'm really glad to see it happen.
Yeah, I'll say I purposely tried to not talk about this too much because we didn't know where it was going to end up. I didn't want to be the guy screaming the sky was falling, nor did I want to be the guy saying everybody's overreacting, because I don't think they were overreacting. I think they were saying what they felt right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt the same thing. I kind of felt this had the opportunity to be horrible for Linux. Really bad for Linux if it couldn't boot on Windows computers without the user going into the BIOS and tweaking when available.
Yes.
So I'm happy. It looks like it might be a thing of the past as far as users are concerned. If that's the case, I feel much, much better.
Yeah, me too. Because we don't want to present people with even more hurdles to get Linux on their systems. In fact, we want to break as many of those down as we can. Make it as easy as possible, at least for maybe some user-friendly distributions, which we all know what they are. Get them at least introduced to that. But if it's a big hurdle and big pain to get Linux onto any system in the first place, even less people are going to start to try to use it, which can be bad for everything.
Right. Now, okay, this next one, Cody, I feel really dumb on.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of this DYAD?
Dyad, yes. It's a very, very Dyad. Popular game. Yes, and I was overjoyed to hear this news a few days ago. I'm very, very excited by it.
Okay, well, I believe it's not a new game. It's been around a while.
It has, yeah. It was, I believe, exclusive to the PlayStation Network for quite a while. It's an indie game that was made for the PlayStation Network, so it's digital only. It was never had. It has not yet to see a disc release. But it's kind of funny. Basically, the developer intended to make an announcement that he was going to release it on Linux within the next 60 to 90 days. But just like how some people sort of uncovered how we're going to be able to start playing Steam on Linux. Once we start to see certain reference files show up in updates and things, like people start digging, just looking for any little thing to say, oh, this is coming down the pike. This is coming down the pike. Well, somebody found some info files on Dyad coming to Steam for Linux, and they posted it, and they basically just kind of asked him, is this happening? And the guy's like, yeah, it's happening. I was going to tell you guys next week or whatever, but for those of you who don't know Dyad, I can only really describe it as if you guys ever think of like playing the game Wipeout, like any it's like a kaleidoscope. Imagine it like a kaleidoscope game where you're traveling down a path. And I've only played it just a little bit, but it's a very, very beautiful looking game, lots of colors.
Yeah.
And to see something like this coming to Linux, it's just a step in the right direction, because traditionally when you think of unfortunately a lot of people, when they still think of games on Linux, they think of like Tux Racer. And they think of some very, very simple games. Now, Steam on Linux sort of broke down that barrier. I don't know, you can start playing this and playing that. And to see a very popular game on a pre-existing platform come over at the developer's behest, it's just one more thing that's going to get people to really realize the power of this platform and gaming on this platform moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to try to rationalize this for old school gamers, because that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
This game, to those people, I would describe, if you remember Tempest, you had to go around the edge of a pattern.
Yep.
Now think if that whole thing is moving forward, okay? It's like you're in a tunnel where you can go all around. Now it looks like primarily the ship stays on the bottom, and when you turn, the rest of the tube turns around you. Utterly gorgeous, bright, vibrant colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, epically beautiful. And you can do combos and all kinds of stuff. It's really hard to explain this game, but it looks cool. And I'll say, it isn't only on Linux. It is also, I believe, Mac and PC. So everybody's going to be able to get in on this action.
Yep. If you're a gamer and if you can understand this vernacular, it will kind of give you an idea. Imagine Wipeout plus F-Zero, like plus Mario Kart, whereas you're in this tube and you're getting all sorts of boosts and power-ups as you run over them, but it's all like all the objects are light-based. So it's almost from like a first-person perspective. You don't see your ship or whatever it is you're flying inside this tube, but it's just this really, albeit like trippy experience as you're moving forward in the game, but it's very, very beautiful to watch. And to see something like this coming to Linux, and this would make one heck of a demo a reel, even from today's standards, along with some of the other big games that can come out that you can play on Linux now. So yeah, I'm very, very happy to see this come to the platform.
Yeah, same here. The more the better. Yeah. Okay, this next one I got, it's really just an announcement of sorts, and that is Raspberry Pi Model A is available in Europe, expected to be worldwide pretty soon. I'm 99% sure, if my brain is actually functioning for a change, the Model A, the biggest difference is it has built-in Wi-Fi. And that is what a lot of people, I don't want to say complained. That was the thing that the old, quote-unquote, the current Raspberry Pi was missing. It had everything else on it except Wi-Fi, to where you had to use a dongle.
Okay. See, that just shows my ignorance on this, because I literally thought that the boards were available everywhere, and I thought that this was just the 256 meg version was now available in Europe. So that's my mistake. I didn't know that I also had Wi-Fi on the board.
Right. Well, it was supposed to have double the RAM from the Model B, but the Model B got pushed up to 512 megs of RAM. The Model A sports only one USB port and half the RAM, it does say. So mm-hmm. I had it backwards, okay? Model A, one USB port, half the RAM, no Ethernet connection, making it more power economical, as well as $10 cheaper. Okay, so it's only $25.
Yeah.
So if it's one of those things, if you want to mass roll something out and you didn't need certain things on your device, this could make it more economical, more possible for you to take that dollar and make it stretch further.
And if you're thinking about, I mean, from just a basic end-user standpoint, buying one or the other, it's really going to have to suit your needs, and the $9 to $10 difference, you're like, well, whatever, right? But if you're thinking about institutions buying these, you're talking hundreds at a time. Yeah, that cost savings is going to show up. And if you don't need Ethernet ports on these, if you're a school and you're buying like 150 or 200 of them, then yeah, you're saving money, but you're also getting a more power economical device that's going to suit your needs better.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's always the case, well, if it doesn't have Ethernet, it's much more likely for it to pass security test because you know, ain't nobody attacking it over the network.
Hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I have to find a positive spin for that.
There you go.
Okay, we've already had... No, okay, we only had one, okay. We have another game-related link here. Okay. Okay, there's a Linux distribution I didn't know called Sparky Linux. S-P-A-R-K-Y-L-I-N-U-X. And their latest version... 2.0.1 is subtitled Game Over. Okay. What comes under the hood is a pretty modern Linux kernel, LXDE, for super fast, lightweight desktop environment. Ice, Weasel, VLC, LeafPad, Pigeon, Transmission, ECChat, Flash, Java, Multimedia Codecs, VLC, means nothing. That's, who cares? Okay. But it also comes preloaded with the Sora for Linux, which is like an open source Steam alternative. It also comes with Steam for beta. It also comes with Wine and Play on Linux, and it does come pre-built in with certain games. Not sure the quality of these games, but it does come preloaded with games as well.
I'm looking at that list of games, and there are a few on there that I recognize. In fact, I mentioned earlier, Tux Racer. However, this is Extreme Tux Racer. And another one that really pops out is Open Arena, which is a first-person shooter game. It's similar to Quake Arena, if I'm not mistaken, which I don't believe I am.
Gotcha. Yeah, the only one on there that definitely rings a bell to me is Moonlander. And if it's the Moonlander, I think it is, that's not an intensive graphic experience, but a very complex hand timing experience. Very cool. So honestly, if you're a gamer, it can't hurt to download it, install it. It comes preloaded with Steam. So even if you just wanted a dedicated Steam computer, this might be the easiest way to get that done.
Also, if you're thinking about just playing any Linux games or testing out, for instance, if you remember, like our good friend Eric Salce, he runs Elder Scrolls Skyrim on his Linux box, and I believe he does it through Wine. So, if you are a gamer and you're looking, if you have a rig or like a spare drive that you want to throw a distro on that's going to be game friendly, definitely give Sparky Linux a try because it already has Wine Play on Linux and Steam Beta for Linux installed right off the bat, and Distro, excuse me. So, yeah, it's a great platform to sort of get you to start experience gaming on Linux and potentially take that experience into other distributions, which might suit your needs a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to lie. Man, I told myself I wasn't going to say that this episode. I was called out for saying that a lot, apparently, which I didn't notice. I like this. This looks really cool. I really wish I had a box upstairs I could throw this on and use it as a gaming computer with the kids.
What are you getting called out for saying a lot, Dor?
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well, That just means you're being honest.
I know. Well, I know, but they were on another cast, and, you know, they said it like 3 times.
Okay. Well, if they don't like it, we'll give them their money back.
Well, yeah, they're good people. They just,
okay.
I wasn't ready for it.
All I'm saying is you give me the list of those people, I'll listen to their shows and figure out what they say all the time, and I'll just send them those messages in Google Plus over and over and over and over again.
I was going to say, we can't repeat what they say.
Unleash the dogs. Unleash them to work.
Now, I got another game here. Apparently, this is the gaming episode. Maybe Sage really likes games, so that's why I'm doing this. Strike Suit Zero is a game. I don't know. Never heard of it. But there's a Linux version confirmed coming later this year. When I looked at the video for this, I can say that looks pretty good. And a Linux version coming is just another plus on top of a plus as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'll take it.
Wow. Yeah, this looks, what is this? It's like an outer space ship game. I guess like almost like a futuristic flight sim, like a futuristic action flight sim. Is what I would call this. I'm thinking of an old. Oh wow, the ship just turned into a mech. That's crazy.
Yeah, this game is like honestly kind of like the last game. It's super pretty.
I mean,
really super pretty, vibrant colors all over.
Yep. Yeah, Strike Suit Zero. Definitely check that out. A lot of good trailers and gameplay footage on YouTube. So if you're interested in what it looks like. Definitely check that out and give it a try.
And it's mechs. I mean, come on.
Dude, who doesn't love mechs?
There's something wrong with you, people out there, if you don't like mechs.
Yep.
Okay, there's one out here I just got to throw out there. I saw it again on Pinehead TV. Apparently, they have some good stuff once in a while. I'll just say that. I'm not a reader, so I'm not going to lie. Just glanced at this one. But it looked good. It was called How to Get a Linux-Related Job. And I will say, I've been saying this, honestly, I believe, from episode 1. Linux jobs are only going to become more in demand and pay more money. Every day, someone waits to learn Linux. You are shortchanging your future possible income, is what I'll say.
Yep.
Because there is really good money in it. And if you get a job at a nice place, they'll pay for a lot of training, and they'll pay for you to go to conferences. I ain't going to say nothing else about that, but that's the truth. I know that for a fact.
So let me get this straight. I could get a job... And they'd pay me to go to OLF?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They would pay me to go to NELF and be at that LAN party.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I got to go, Dor. I got to get my resume ready. Can you take over the rest of the show?
I'll try, but I'm not very good at it.
You know what? Google Docs is down. I can't get my resume ready. I'll just hang in for the rest of the episode.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Thanks a lot, Google.
Okay. And there's a couple links at the bottom, I'll say, on this. And it basically has places that get you started off on learning about Linux. Like Linux Game Programming Tutorial 1. A lot of people might not know this. There's actually a fair amount of games built on Linux, even if they don't run on Linux. Including, from what I'm led to believe, the entire Steam client and the production of everything Steam-related is on Linux boxes.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Why not? It's free to use. You can use as much as you want.
And I would bet that the servers running Steam probably run Linux.
Oh, well, they're going to put out there some, you know, crap.
Yeah.
And I'll say... I'm going to throw in a link here. Yes, I believe it is. I believe it is. Training.LinuxFoundation.com. There is a bunch of stuff there. It might be a little slightly harder to find. I'll look and see if I can find really great links for it. They have online training right then and there that is good. Very good. It's from the makers of the kernel. So, you know, maybe they'll know what they talk about.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Good stuff. Absolutely.
Our good friend Russ Winter, his new job, he primarily works with Linux every day. And although he is very busy and his workload has increased, you can tell that he's happy to have made the transition to being in an environment where he is enjoying the journey, enjoying learning day to day and getting paid for it. So if you guys know him from the Techie Geek, the Techie Geek himself, Russ Winter, if use him as an example, like he made it happen. And through some interesting circumstances, but still, he was knowledgeable on the platform himself, and now he's turned it into his full-blown 9-to-5. So, yeah, it can happen. So don't basically get out of your own way. Do what you need to do to at least get to a certain level where you can get that job in Linux that you want. And like Dor said, and we know other guy like Jeff Owens, for instance. You know, his job helped him get even more training. And I'm sure there are many other success stories from our listeners out there who have experienced the same. So get out of your own way. Don't hold yourself back. Do what you can to get a job in the platform now or the near future, because it's just going to be that much bigger in the near future, requiring even more professionals like the person you can be soon.
Yeah, and I'll say the one thing I don't want people to misunderstand, I'm not saying get a job with Linux because it's easy. Because if you talk to Russ, you'll know.
Right.
He's working his butt off.
Oh, yeah.
He has to shove a lot of learning while he's doing his job. So it's not like I'm encouraging people to do this because it's easy. Easy is something you can do with a GUI where all you have to do is click on checkboxes.
Right.
You know, this is not that. This is digging into configuration files, knowing how to edit them by hand, knowing, you know, what to look for when you push out a new box, what is the basic configuration, how should it look like. You know, this isn't, you know, silly, easy stuff.
No, but at the same time, what I think you're encouraging, or at least what I'm getting from it is, it's these jobs are going to be in more demand soon. So why not get yourself ready, or at least put yourself out there if you're ready now to help fill that need, while at the same time potentially taking advantage of any bonuses or incentives that your potential employer might have to further your education on the platform.
Right. And just like we all know, zombies are coming sooner or later. You might as well prep now. You might look crazy. Wait,
yep.
Did I just take that on the wrong tangent?
All I'm saying is that the computer that's going to fail to let the gates open by accident, it's not going to run a Linux distro.
True.
It's not going to happen. All I'm saying is there will be a screen, and it'll be a certain color. And then the dead start coming in to the compound.
Yeah, not good. Okay, this next link I think was put in by yourself, sir?
That's correct. For instance, We've already spoken very highly about the Chromebooks, number one selling item, a computer item on Amazon for, I guess, weeks in a row now, which are fantastic. Dor and I have very, very positive experiences with our Chromebooks. And there have been several news stories surrounding the platform in recent days and weeks. However, just the earlier today or yesterday, I believe HP enters the Chromebook race. They launched an HP Pavilion Chromebook, which is the a lot of media outlets are making this a big deal, saying that now that HP's in the running, it's like a legit platform, which I think speaks lowly of Acer and Samsung. Like they're like second fiddle now, but now that Hewlett Packard's involved, like it's a real thing. No. give credit where credit's due. Okay, Google went to some great manufacturers ahead of time. They started this, and they should be given the credit they deserve. However, HP is bringing one thing to the table. It's the largest Chromebook. It's an actual, it's a 14-inch.
Oh, wow, that is big.
It's a 14-inch 720p display. However, if I'm not mistaken, and I haven't gone side-by-side yet, but I believe it has the exact same hardware specs as the Acer.
I will say it looked very similar.
Yep.
Very similar.
I believe it's the same 1.1 gigahertz Intel processor. And it has the 16 gigs of flash memory, of course, Wi-Fi, the 720p webcam, the three USB 2.0 slots, one HDMI out, and the SD card slot. However, the battery life is less than the other two offerings. Obviously, it has to be, I mean, one would assume that it's attributed to the larger screen. You're going to have a larger screen, it's almost 3 inches larger, you know, you have that much more real estate to power up. However, it's going to eat the battery down that much lower. From what I understand, I read a couple articles on this, it's almost identical, if not the exact same machine that they offer in a Windows 8 variant, but with Chrome OS installed on it.
Right.
So, I think it's nice to see more larger manufacturers see this as a legit platform and are offering machines on it. So I commend HP for doing this, and Lenovo also released a machine semi-recently, and it's the one you're seeing really rolled out into like the education market, because it's an 11.6-inch, it's a ThinkPad. It's a little more expensive, but it's rubberized around the edges, so kids, right, you know, dropping it, it's perfect for that arena. And I think that, and I love Lenovo. I've always really, really liked the IBM Lenovo brand. Their hardware is always amazing from an aesthetic and physical standpoint. Like, you could, all I'm saying is, if I'm ever stuck in the woods and a cougar's coming at me, I don't want to be holding a Toshiba satellite. If I have to beat that thing to death with a laptop, it better be a ThinkPad. But
yeah,
to go back to talking about HP and their Chromebook, I'm very hopeful for this. I think that for those, if you think of the Samsung and the Acer model, a lot of people will say it's just too small. So this assesses that one need and fills that gap. So I just hope I don't see like a 17-inch Chromebook. I mean, the 14-inch is okay, 15.6. I don't consider 15.6-inch laptops to be mobile at this point anymore, but I'm glad to see that a known manufacturer came in and made a larger display for those naysayers saying that the other two models are too small. Have you read any of this at all, Doria?
Well, I'll say I've seen it, but I ignore it because those people are idiots. I don't think it's too small at all. Some people want bigger, then fine, make them something bigger. And I have a very vexed feeling about HP getting into it. If anybody's going to screw up the internals and make them too hard to open up or too hard to work on, it's going to be HP.
Right.
You know, 'cause that's what they're great at. Now, the Lenovo one, I believe, is going to be like basically the price of a laptop.
The Lenovo is $430. Yeah. I think it's $439. It's either $429 or $439, but they advertise it on the website as $459 with like a year, like the $30 like year Lenovo assistance, you know.
Right.
But I mean, seriously, if you can't run a Chromebook by yourself, I mean, you don't need to pay Lenovo to give you support for a Chromebook. If you do, you're not listening to this podcast. You're probably at home eating pudding. Not that there's anything against pudding, but you're probably also eating it with a rubberized spoon, because that even regular spoons are too dangerous for you. However, this HP Chromebook, it's only $330. Now, it's $130 more, but it's a physically larger laptop. And you have to acknowledge, I mean, HP, I will say, I don't have many good things to say about HP based on my own personal experience, but the one thing that I would say they've done very well in the last 5 to 6 years is the aesthetics of their machine.
Yes.
This looks like a nice laptop. It's still very thin. It's still functional. It's running Chrome OS. So I'm very hopeful, and I hope it does well for them, because if there's a hardware manufacturer in trouble right now based on decisions they've made in the past few years, it's definitely HP. And I hope that this helps them turn around to pump out some other great products in the future, hopefully Linux-based.
Yeah, and you know, I just want these to become more popular just so there's more hacking done on them.
Oh, yes. Speaking of hacking on Chromebooks, I actually disassembled mine to a certain degree two nights ago. When it brought it the wrong way, that's all I'm going to say. It was easier than I anticipated, and I didn't watch any teardown videos ahead of time. So if you're going to tear down your Chromebook, watch the video first. That's all I'm going to say. However, my initial thought was to take a new hard drive and slap it in there. When you do, and I'm just saying this for you guys' benefit if you are thinking about doing this. For those of you who've upgraded your own RAM before and your own laptops, it's exactly the same. I mean, you just take the bottom plate off, and there's an extra slot there. Just make sure that you purchase the correct RAM ahead of time. I just had some spare RAM from another laptop. It didn't fit, so I can't do it. But I'm going to maybe order another 2-gig stick just to give it a try. However, the hard drive that they provide inside the Acer Chromebook has some foam padding actually attached to the top plate of the drive, which will help it not bang against the bottom plastic plate. So if you're planning on installing a secondary drive, you're going to need to come up with your own solution to create that foam padding. And I can't honestly suggest what to do. The only thing I could think of off the bat was you can buy it's like tape, but it's foam. It's almost like insulation, but it's really thin. I think Scotch makes it, but it's adhesive on both sides. It might work. Don't do it and then have your Chromebook catch on fire and then blame me or send me an email from another machine because your Chromebook caught on fire. Needless to say, I'm probably just going to stick with the stock drive for now, but I am putting Krubuntu on it in the next few days, and I'll report back soon. Hopefully, I'll have the extra stick of RAM in there to also help give you more information on the increased performance by potentially investing in just a little bit more money in your existing device.
So your quick question, is it like standard laptop RAM, and can I ask how much did you pay for it?
I haven't ordered it yet. It is, I can't remember the, I investigated it before I ordered the Chromebook, because I just matched up the actual DIMM size to one on, it's easily accessible. At the time, I was toying with the idea of throwing 16 gigs in there, which cost me about $80, but I don't need to be running like 30 YouTube tabs at once. Which is the only benefit you're going to get if you're putting extra RAM into actually just using the stock Chrome OS, is that you'll have better performance if you have multiple tabs open. However, with more Linux distributions being able to be run on these machines, having the extra RAM is not going to hurt. I would say, because I believe both of them come stock with 2 gigs, try to bump it up to at least 4. But I think a 2 gig stick is going to cost you less than $30.
That's so, what I think, yeah.
So, I mean, you had 10-15% of the cost of the initial machine to boost the performance. I think that that's a worthwhile investment. If you're still on the fence, I'll be reporting back soon within the next show or two, and you can kind of take it from there and decide what you'd like to do. If you do have this device already or thinking about buying it, maybe thinking it's potentially a little bit underpowered and trying to find a way to sort of soup it up. So stay tuned with that.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to probably upgrade my RAM, but I don't know when. Yeah, just when I get around to it. It's shockingly respectable with 2 gigs, but I know. I double that RAM. It's going to be pretty lightning.
And for people who consider this to be maybe a disposable device, I would say you're only going to have that thought before you get it. Once you start to use it, even if you're only using it in its stock incarnation, it's still awesome. Like, it's my daily carry now. I've already said that. I'm to the point now where I realize I'm going to be having this thing for a while. And honestly, like, after getting my taxes done today, I was thinking, because usually every year I kind of assess, well, do I need a new laptop? I don't now. Because if I buy a big bulky laptop, I can't justify leaving this thing at home. And for the things I need to do on the go, me personally, this suits my needs stock. Once I throw a Linux distribution on there, it's going to increase the value of it exponentially. So yeah, I'm looking to hack and tweak and upgrade this thing as much as I can while still being economically reasonable, because I don't want to pour $300 or $400 more into this thing, you know. it'd be stupid. But yeah, I'm throwing some stickers on there, make it a little more, you know, Street Smart or whatever you want to call it. I love laptops with stickers, but it's reached that point where I realized that this is going to be at least one of my right hand devices for a while. I bought a special bag for it today. I'm not going to go into that. I'll go into that when I have it. It's awesome. I could go on about it forever, but if you're going to Nelf, you're going to see me carry that thing around. You're going to be like, is that a purse? It's not a purse. It's my Chromebook bag. Shut up. Get away from me.
Merce.
It's, yeah, you can call it a Merce. It's amazing. I've already owned one of these things before, and they cost too much for what they are, but they're awesome. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I love Chromebooks and LAN Party.
Yeah, I'm you're obviously way too passionate. I'm not arguing with you.
Okay.
Okay, this next thing, it's a Unity thing, but and it says it can be used with anything that supports Unity Quick List, like DocBarX, CairoDoc, or Plank. So if you use any of these three, this is also applicable, okay? Everybody seems to be on the multi-boot bandwagon, dual boot bandwagon, multi-boot, whatever, where they want to boot a whole bunch of stuff, I really don't. Because I don't turn off my computers. Maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. But, for instance, in Google Plus Community Podnuts, recent convert John just did a dual boot. I'm going to send this link to him. With a Unity Quick List, it's basically a clickable icon in your left Unity panel, which when you click, you get a list from that. And this list contains the other installed operating systems on that computer and allows you to dynamically, basically, reboot directly into these other operating systems. You basically click it. On the list, you'll see, like, for instance, Ubuntu, Windows 7, Linux Mint, SLIDAS, whatever, and you click that, and then the computer will reboot. The default selection will be that operating system that you selected, and it will boot into that. So you can still change it last second if you change your mind. But it's basically from within the operating system, rebooting into your operating system of choice. That has a really cool factor to it, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. And real quick, shout out to John. I cannot remember your last name, but he was very, very proud to say that he got Ubuntu running good on dual boot and has been asking the right questions, I'll say, over the last few days. And I've seen the responses to his questions on Google Plus, and the community has really come together to welcome him and to make him feel welcome and to make him also do the things he needs to do. Whether it be the right browser, the other right programs he's asked about just for his day-to-day needs. So congratulations, and I hope you really enjoy the platform.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name because I'll not say it right. John, you know who you are. You're the man. Cool. I just put the link in there to Google Plus to you. I encourage you, test it, bang it, rock on it, have fun with it, I guess is the right word. I guess I don't know.
Bang it out.
Bang it out. There you go. Thank you.
There you go.
See?
I'm here for a reason. I have catchphrases.
And you do it well. I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to get a calendar, and I'm going to write down in the calendar that today's the first day I was wrong this year. That was just gold. That was just gold.
We need to put that on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the... Yeah. He's absolutely. That's way inside, but yeah, that's something I said recently.
Yeah, that
just wasn't good. Oh
boy. Okay. No matter how I say this next one, I'm not doing it justice, people. Okay. This is ultra absurd, geek, cool, nerddom. Fun. I don't know that I don't know how to say it except for that. We've all heard of Guitar Hero and how you have the guy standing there with the guitar that's not really a guitar with four buttons on it or five buttons or whatever, and you got the whammy bar and you're watching the music come down, and you see the neck of the guitar, and you got to time one of them five buttons, or hold down the button, or do the whammy bar, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We in Lennox, you know, once in a while, look at that kind of thing and think, I don't like that music. I don't like that. It's too easy. There's only five buttons. Jeez. So we in the Linux world decided we're taking this to the command line. Because everything in Linux eventually ends up on the command line. And that's just the way it is. There's no getting around it, okay, people? Now, if you don't play the video on the main screen and just look at the screen, this gets hard and complex, I'm going to bet, fast. Okay? This is called Terminal Hero. I'm going to try to describe this to audio listeners. You only have a couple lines at the bottom of the screen where you actually are playing the game. In what's frozen on the screen before you hit play, there's four lines, okay? Above it is a description. It tells you you advance to each new level with every 64 points. Each level is a new line. So line one is one line, line two is two lines, three is three lines, four is four lines. This will get very complex very quickly. You don't have four buttons or five buttons to hit. You have the entire range of the keyboard to hit, okay? And it goes from right to left across the screen, and there's a bar, looks like 8 characters wide. So the letters are coming from the right, flowing to the left. Each level is an additional line of characters, and they come out in random patterns. Sometimes there's huge gaps of 20-plus characters. Sometimes it's two characters and then a space of one and then a character. It's very random, but you have to basically time hitting those letters as they come through that green bar. This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say. And I believe, technically speaking, should make people who aren't good typers better typers. Maybe I'm wrong with that, but that's my excuse for playing it at least.
Door, have you ever seen the film Training Day?
No, that was with Wesley Snipes, who I feel can't act a lick, so I didn't see it.
Denzel Washington, actually.
Denzel Washington, sorry.
Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke.
I like Snipes. He's a Blade.
Yes. There's a famous line in that film where Denzel Washington's character screams out, "King Kong ain't got nothing on me." Now, I would imagine that the creator of this game would scream out, "Mavis Beacon ain't got nothing on me." Because when it comes to typing games and typing learning tools, this thing looks amazing. Door did a great job of describing this, but let me put my little spin on it. For those of you who have played Guitar Hero or Rock Band, you have the notes coming at you from the top of the screen down. Much like Door described, it's moving from the right of the screen toward left. And it looks just like a terminal. It's just all text based. But I can imagine like playing this live, like with a projector or something, and having a bunch of like hard music going on, and just having it being like one of the geekiest things ever. Because no matter how good you are at your typing, I think that we all have room for improvement. I think I'm okay. I think I'm about average, maybe a little bit above. But seeing this makes me realize that if I played this hardcore for like a couple weeks, I would just grow exponentially. But yeah, I would need a soundtrack to play this. But yeah, I can't do it. I mean, it took all my strength to not play this immediately once he showed this to me during pre-show. And I know exactly what I'm doing as soon as we're done talking tonight. So this is very cool.
Well, and I'll say this. There's no doubt in my mind. Okay, this is already forkable on GitHub, which means anybody can go get it and tweak it, do whatever they want. There's no doubt in my mind someone is going to, probably before this gets published, even if this gets published in 2 days, okay, someone is going to make this game to where you can basically input your own audio file or playlist.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Because there's the open source version of Guitar Hero called Frets on Fire. Right. And you can import your own like OGG files, any music files into that, and it's very similar. But yeah, this takes it a step further. This is like 4 or 5 steps up on the geeky scale, I'll say. And it's so funny because I just ordered a new keyboard today, so now I can't wait to break it in proper using this thing.
Oh, this will break it in.
I'm contemplating canceling my keyboard order and getting the better keyboard that I really wanted, just to say I had to buy it for this. I don't think my wife will understand, though, if I go, no, see, there's the text-based game here. That's why I needed to spend the extra money on the keyboard, and she'll just slam the door and go watch her dumb Netflix shows.
Exactly. And it looks like you start out, of course, with the rating of noob, and you have a health of 32. Anytime you hit the wrong key or a letter passes through that window and you don't hit it, you lose a health. So there's literally only 32 mistakes. And you're dead. I don't think when a level happens, you get any pluses in points, in health points. So I believe it's literally 32, and then you're dead.
I'll say this right now: I'm forecasting the future. I'm saying that this is the most likely scenario, but I know I'm going to love this. So I will say that there's a possibility of a Linux to the Rest of Us contest coming up in the future based on submitted videos of you playing this game. I will say that as a fact. So if you're thinking about it, if you're wanting to get better at typing anywhere, if you think you're really good, give this a try, get to training, because we'll have something coming down the pike for it, because I'm sure this thing is here to stay.
Next week there's going to be a contest announcement with a prize, and it's going to be a video submitted. Terminal Hero will be the way you enter for the prize.
Very cool.
That's all there is to it. There has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do expect some way to identify this is you and not, oh wow, this looks exactly like the video on YouTube where the guy got 80,000 points.
Right.
So
we'll figure out a way.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Man, good stuff. Thank God that's by the end of the show because of, I want to play it. Okay, this next one I saw and I had to mention. Okay. I have a friend who is into web development. He is a professional, first and foremost, okay? This guy makes his living off of doing what he does, you know, making web pages and making them pretty. Well, part of every web designer's job is graphics, whether they like it or not. If they don't do it themselves, then they have to outsource it to somebody else. It's always good, better, I'd say, to do it yourself. So we don't need to go out. We don't need to get Photoshop. We don't need to get multi-$1,000 trainings from these other places to get good at what we're doing. On Linux.com, there's an article talking about professional graphics creation in Linux. This is in no way, shape, or form a step-by-step how to do professional graphics. This is a introductory, to professional graphic editing and creation on Linux. If anyone either has a kid that wants to get into graphics or they want to take a look at what's available on other platforms in graphics, whether it be 3D modeling graphics, 2D, motion capture kind of stuff, desktop publishing, photography, whatever, this to me seems like a really, really good article.
Definitely. And being able to pump out high-end graphics, it's just another one of those hurdles that Linux has overcome recently. I shouldn't even say recently, but it's one of those objections that would come from a potential new user, you know, especially the professional. You know, can I edit video? Can I edit audio? Can I make high-end graphics? And I mean, we've spoken about GIMP before. You and Steve have spoken about GIMP before. They have their own magazine now. So that's a legitimate platform now. And it has been for quite some time. But to see some of the results of the from some of these Linux graphics programs, I mean, they're quite stunning.
Yeah, I definitely like them a lot. There was one more article I'm going to shove in here, and it's only because I do think it's cool, and I do think it's one of those things, if you need it, people out there, you need this. I was trying to help Sean Johnson, SJ Geek, the Star Wars fan from Android App Addicts, Dirty Thumbs. We all know him affectionately as Dirty Thumbs. I was trying to help him out.
Does he have any other nicknames?
I'm not sure.
We won't get into that.
I know he has intestinal problems.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Something to do with bread. He's had trouble digesting very basic things. Mm-hmm. But that's
yeah,
okay.
Like food.
Yeah. Yeah, like food.
He is a believer. I have this installed. I am not upgrading until I absolutely have to because it's working how I like it. Okay, he's using Ubuntu 10.04. And I've been speaking to him off and on for the last couple of months saying, look, I'm not saying you have to upgrade. I will never tell you you have to upgrade. What I will tell you, what you're missing out by upgrading is the new hotness, the new quote-unquote hotness, the new stuff coming out is all going to be geared for the latest long-term support edition and the current short-term edition. And he had a issue. He was trying to mount his Jelly Bean Android device on his Ubuntu 10.10 device. Well, the newest Androids like to use what's called MTP when they connect, which is a Microsoft way of connecting and transferring files back and forth. And I said, well, you know, Sean, I don't think we're going to find an easy way how to do this. You know, and I looked and I looked and I looked, and what I found was there is a way in Ubuntu 12.10 or 12.04 to easily connect your newest MTP devices, it's a lot of Android 4.0 and up devices. You basically just go, you have to install a PPA, do an update, install it, and next time you plug up your device, you're going to get a pop-up window that's basically going to let you access that device like a USB mass storage device. So if you're on Ubuntu 12.10 or 12.04 and you have an Android Jelly Bean device, or actually it's Ice Cream Sandwich device or up, you might need this to make connecting and syncing files back and forth super easy. I mean, ridiculously super easy.
Yeah, and especially if you're into rooting and ROMing your device, or if you're using your device, you and Sean have both spoken to this, how you like download distros, you know, just during the day. Well, yeah. Not so much Sean anymore now that he's on a data cap, but if you're downloading items to your mobile device during the day, and you're trying to find me, aside from like uploading it to a cloud syncing service and then downloading it on your main machine when you get home, having something like this is going to be great for moving all sorts of data or media back and forth in between both devices. And I hate to see support for them lost as we get into later iterations of Ubuntu or other distros. I ran into a similar issue with, the current version of LibreOffice is now no longer available, or you can't directly install it into Ubuntu 10.04.4. Right. So you need a workaround to do that. But if you're running into these little problems, if you can't get a certain software update or devices to connect to either an older version, older Linux distro, or a newer one, then do some searching around and hopefully you'll find a solution like this.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, we are actually out of emails. I don't. Do you have any door? Because I'm all out.
Let me check my magical labels.
Yeah, I haven't had any sent to me lately. However, we did get a lot of responses the past, I would say, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Especially about a lot of really good feedback about our Chromebook episodes. So for those of you who touched base with us, thank you very much. We appreciate it. However, please keep them coming because we love to answer questions on the show. And it's a great way to interact and sort of learn to know our audience, which I'm big about.
Yeah, I'll say I only see one, and it was basically an announcement from Scale.
Oh, yep, there you go.
Scale is the Southern California Linux Expo. This is definitely, number-wise, probably the biggest non-official Linux conference. This isn't LinuxCon, which I believe is official Linux-supported. This is huge, and I'll say this does have a lot of money attending this conference. A lot of businesses actually making speeches, doing talks, like HP, like Google, like Intel. I mean, these are like the big boys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say it's started by the local user group in LA 10 years ago. It's going to happen February 22nd through the 24th at the LAX Hilton in LA. Okay, here you go. Some of this year's 100 exhibitors. 100 exhibitors. That's crazy.
It's a lot of swag.
Will include Facebook, IBM, HP, GNOME, Zen, Apache, CloudStack, SaltStack, Illumins. Facebook, for some reason, they listed twice. I guess they really like that Facebook.
They need it.
Well, here's where a lot of the industry goes to learn about things going on or coming up in the industry. And I was told, apparently, a lot of recruitment is possible at this event because it's so business focused.
Oh, okay.
I'll just say, I think we got them beat when it comes to homebrew beer, but that's just me. They might have us beat when it comes to getting a job.
That's not to say that we can't bring homebrew beer to, let's say, Scale 2014.
I know, but it's in LA. That's a trek. I gotta.
Door, if I can fly to Ohio, you can fly to Portland and we can drive down.
I know, but if I go to
2014, over a year away, it's possible.
I know, but here's one thing I gotta say.
Can you recycle cans in Maryland for money?
For nothing, yes.
Okay, well, I'll start saving my can money for you. We'll make it happen.
I know, but here's the thing, Cody. Early in the year in Maryland, it's typically disgustingly cold. Now, granted, I'm not saying it's like we're in the Arctic Circle, but for us, it's cold.
Right.
If I say, hun, I'll see you in a couple days. I'm going to L.A. I would honestly expect to have my manhood cut off one night in the middle of the night. Because that would not be cool for me to leave her here and go to L.A. So it would have to be a family event. I can't leave him here. Can't.
Sure you can. And here's what you do. You have me talk to her. Geez. You have me talk to her. Worst case scenario, I get her all riled up and you can deal with her from now forward.
Are you nuts?
I'm just saying. I've talked to ladies before. You can tell that by looking at this face.
Ladies.
Plural, as in more than one at a time and in over. You know what I mean? Saying, you get it. Save that can. You're going to need it for airfare.
Dude, I would love to. I'm not going to lie. I would love to.
We'll make it happen. If you guys want to see Door at Scale 2014, send in an email to podcast@linuxforrestofus.com and we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. Well, here's the thing. You tell her you're flying to Portland and she'll be like, why the hell would I want to go to Portland? It's all rainy and gloomy. And then you're like, yeah, I know. I don't even want to go there either. I have to go talk at this thing. And then we drive to L.A.
Survey says...
She doesn't listen to the show. She doesn't listen to the show.
No, but she has a good friend who lives up by there who she hasn't seen in like a decade.
Okay. So we drive, we fly out there. We, honey, I go get some milk. We drive to L.A. for 2 or 3 days. Come back. All they had was organic milk. We had to go get some regular milk. We couldn't find any, so we went to L.A. It was crazy.
We had to go to L.A. for regular milk.
It's all hippie milk out here, I'm telling you. My son, he only drinks organic milk.
That works. You just sent the deal. Let's move on.
There you go. Okay. Can we commit to playing that promo that they attached to that?
We can add it into the show because I ain't got it ready.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we'll play a promo toward the end of the show, which is now, or close to now, for Scale 2013. So please, if you are in the area and if you can't make it, or if you can make it, definitely go check it out and send us your review of the fest, because dare I say, I'm trying to get Door to go next year. We're going to get Door on the West Coast.
It was already done. I'm going, right? I thought you said we're going.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, you are going.
Well, I also have the Northwest Lennox Fest, which I think is much more personal of a fest. I think I'm a fan of the personal fest.
I haven't gone to that one. Yeah, I should go to that one, too. And then there's also the Open Source Bridge. I don't think it's a festival. Anyway, there's one in Portland coming up in June, which is good. A lot of good stuff coming out. We'll get a comprehensive list of all the stuff coming out in within the next few months, or at least during 2013, and get back to you guys real soon. In case you want to attend a local event or semi-local event, because, like I've said in the past, taking advantage of the online community when it comes to Linux is huge, but meeting people face-to-face and really, really understanding how much everyone does love this platform, what we can do for each other, it's just that one more step. Very, very cool.
So it was written, so it shall be done.
Yep. Fantastic. Hey,
we might not have actual emails addressed specifically to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still cool. I'm very cool with getting emails from Fest. But we do actually have a voicemail that's actually, I want to say now, almost 3 weeks old.
Oh, well, let's play that one if we can.
Okay, I believe this is from Black Hammer.
Okay.
Hello, friends. This is Black Hammer, calling for Linux for the Rest of Us. Just finished listening to show 118, where you played my hilarious Google transcript voicemail. That voicemail was from a while back, but I did have a question at the beginning, and I didn't hear Dor answer it. Will Visual Basic run on Linux? I'm actually going to try to experiment, but I thought maybe if you knew. The other thing was I heard the second voicemail, and I want to kind of make a couple of recommendations. You guys know I'm a pretty good dedicated Linux Mint user and like Linux Mint a lot. Matter of fact, most of my systems at work are Linux Mint, and the other one is Ubuntu. But I'm not a fan of Unity, and I had a couple guys there who don't know anything about Linux take a look at it. I ended up, I fiddled around with a couple things. First thing, I like Cinnamon, put Cinnamon Desktop on it. But Shubuntu was very user-friendly. One of the guys looked at it and said, hey, I can do this. Hey, I can do this. So that might be a viable option that you could tell somebody, the Shubuntu version. I know Russ Winter, the Techie Geek, told me he switched to Shubuntu and that he's just very happy with it. But that question was from the guy about a beginner. The other thing, you kind of missed the boat, and we should probably remind people of, Linux for the Rest of Us videos. Now, yeah, it's over Ubuntu 10.10, probably the best Ubuntu ever out. Yeah, it is going to get up to date soon. However, all that is good Linux content, and that would be a great thing to remind the guy. Find the Linux for the Rest of Us videos, get Ubuntu 10.10, put it on there. It's a great starting point for any newbie. And Supercoop, I just want to thank you again for Voyager. Really love this distro. We're going to put it on a big machine today, Core i5 with 16 gig of RAM.
Oh.
And the other thing was, as my Google transcript said, 5.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff Owens, Black Hammer, father of Ellis Owens, Droid Nation co-host. Fantastic guy. Thank you very much for contacting the show. And you're welcome for Voyager. Great. Much like what he just said too. Yeah. If you want to have a nice, Linux experience, but for one reason or another, you don't like Unity or if it just doesn't suit you, try Zubuntu or Shubuntu, as he called. It's just the Xubuntu. It's Ubuntu using the XFCE desktop environment, which is going to be more lightweight, and you'll still see some great functionality out of the distro. So give that a try. But that's also what Voyager uses as its default desktop environment, which he speaks so highly of, and I'm glad I turned him onto it, and he's now using it day-to-day because he loves it so much. So congratulations, Jeff, and five right back at you.
Yeah. I just got to say, Voyager, I wish I could get it to install like on my Chromebook, because to me that seems like the perfect combination. But, haven't had too much.
A word for warning, though, if you're thinking about installing Voyager, a lot of the instructions are in French because it is French-based. So use some Google Translate, which Jeff did in order to get it to run to his specifications. But now that he's done it a few times, it's just easy. However, Dor, do you know the actual answer to that question of his? Can you run Visual Basic in Linux?
Oh, I was going to ignore it again, just see if he would call up a third time. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm all for that.
Jeff, there is no single exact direct answer, because there's literally like 18 versions of Visual Basics, okay? There's a lot of Visual Basics, okay? Visual Basic support can be installed using Wine Tricks. And if I go to Wine HQ via Wine, there's more than a couple versions, especially the latest versions, it looks like, of Visual Basic 6.0 and Enterprise Edition 6.0. Service Pack 5 have a gold rating in Wine, which means it works fantastic. So, yes, you can, it looks like, install Visual Basic 6.0 and Visual Basic 6.0 Enterprise in Wine. Not technically in Linux, but on Linux, I'll say.
Okay.
Didn't he have another question?
I believe that was it.
I will just throw this in there, too. I literally have given away a membership to Linux for the rest of us here in the last couple weeks, I think. And I specifically gave it away because I wanted someone using Ubuntu 12.10 or trying to use it for the very first time to look at those videos and see if they were applicable. And what I'm finding is easy 85% of what I'm saying and how things are done is exactly the same. It's there just the desktop looks different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That made me feel good.
Well, that is good. And yeah, if you are, recently dipping your toe into the environment, into the platform, and you do want some very high-quality videos from a source that you trust, definitely check out the Linux for the Rest of Us video series, because Dor does attack Ubuntu 10.10 from quite a few different angles and really lets you know how to sort of squeeze all the value out of it. There are some sample videos available, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so go check those out at linuxfortherestofus.com. And definitely purchase that if you see fit. We would appreciate it. It also supports the network and supports our show. So that would be very cool. Let's see. As far as shout-outs for the week, I'm going to go ahead and shout out to somebody who kind of made me chuckle this week. And that is listener Steve Crowley. I don't know if you do this, Dor, and I don't know if other podcasters do it, but anyone that adds me on Google Plus, I always send them a personal message back, and it's never like a blanket, hey, thanks for the ad, or whatever. Like, I actually take the time to write everybody back, and Steve Crowley sent me a message back after I sent him my initial reply, saying, hey, Cody, yeah, I'm a listener of the show, thanks for even messaging me. So, you're welcome, Steve. I'm not above talking to anyone. So please know that if you do add me on Google Plus, I will definitely send you a personalized message back, and don't hesitate to contact me with anything whatsoever. I'll help you with anything I possibly can. And it's a great way to get a hold of me, because I'm checking Google Plus, many, many times a day. So definitely do that.
Very cool, very cool.
So, Dor, looks like that's pretty much the end of everything that we had. Where can we find you?
Well, if you go to DoorToDoorGeek.com, that's going to be a one-stop shop that's going to have to get a revamp, at least here soon. Also, there's going to be more changes on Podnos.com. I'm going to say this out loud, so I'm sure it's going to have to be done.
Okay.
Podnos.com/contact is going to change, or there's going to be a new one called podnuts.com/hosts with the S on the end, which will have direct email fillable forms to every one of the hosts who are on Podnuts, you know, every other week or every month, whatever, however often they're on. We need a better way for listeners to directly contact people on the network. When an email comes in right now, I have to stop and think, well, is this for Cody? Is this for Lalo? And I feel like sometimes I shouldn't be reading them. You know what I mean? Because that's not addressed to me. So I want to find a better way to forward all the emails directly to each individual host. And if they want to share them back with me, they can. It's going to be up to them. But that's one of the changes that's going to be coming here. And there is going to be more, I will say that. So once in a while, go to podnuts.com, take a look at the homepage, see if you see something new, because pretty soon you will, and it's going to at least be five changes, I'll say.
Very cool. Yeah, lots of good stuff coming down the pike, I will say that. So definitely, if you haven't visited podnuts.com lately, definitely check it out. Go ahead, Dor.
Is it pike or pipe? It's one of those sayings I never get right. It's coming down the pike or down the pipe?
I've always heard, or you could say pike or pipeline, okay, is what I would say. I've heard it both ways. You know what? From now, I don't know if you just heard that, but that was me putting my stake in the sand. I'm saying pike.
Okay.
And because I'm a Star Trek fan, even though I'm not going to say what my favorite captain is for fear of horrific email ramifications. Yeah. But it's not Pike. It's not Pike. I worked with a girl whose last name was Spock. Never saw the show. But that's neither here nor there. I'll say Pike from now on. You say pipe. And if anybody wants to whine about it, you can email steve@smdcomputers.net.
Did you see that one T-shirt?
Yes, I did. I know exactly what you're referencing without even having to have you send me a link.
Number one
Star Wars fan
T-shirt,
but then it's a black and white photo of the Starship Enterprise, which of course calls out the fact that J.J. Abrams, director of the new Star Wars revamp, is now going to direct all of these Star Wars film. Well, at least the next Star Wars film. And I literally heard from Oregon, Sean Johnson in Buffalo, New York, jumping up and down with glee at that announcement because he's so excited. Because if there's one thing that he loves more than Android, it is lens flare.
Oh, man.
A couple quick announcements. David Christensen, last week, thank you very much. For those of you who don't know or are liking update, David Christensen has a baseball that he brought with him to OLF 2012 and got 29, I believe, podcasters to autograph the ball, and he is donating it to the network for us to use it as a fundraising vehicle for Jonathan Nadeau and the Accessible Computing Foundation. We've come up with a couple of ideas, and we are going to make an announcement at the very latest on next week's show. However, if you are interested in that, and the possibility of winning that ball, contact us on Google+. Over the next week, and we will have an announcement for you next week, the latest, I assure you, because we want to make sure to handle that very precious item in such a way that will do justice for who will receive it and for the benefit of Jonathan and his foundation. So thank you again, David, for donating that ball.
Very cool.
Very cool. All right. Once again, any Amazon purchases you're going to make, please visit podnuts.com/Amazon. We would appreciate the traffic there. Every purchase you make on Amazon also helps the network. It was probably stuff you're going to already buy anyway. If you were thinking about buying things that's available on Amazon, just use the link anyway. You're still getting the stuff, and you're helping us out, which you'd appreciate. However, we also have other links that we'd appreciate you using, which, of course, are podnuts.com/newegg, podnuts.com/eBay, podnuts.com/deals, and, of course, podnuts.com/clothing. We have some items available there and more to come, so definitely check that out. If you'd like to send in a voicemail, please call in 707-SICK-PODNUT. That is 707-676-3688. We're tapped for voicemails. We definitely need more, and we want to hear from you, not any sooner than next week. Please make sure it happens. For emails, please send them to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. We would appreciate any more emails that we could read on the show. If you guys want to watch us live, we do this every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Google+. So follow us there. You will see an announcement that we are going live. And we'll also, you can go to podnuts.com/lounge to follow along the show in the live chat. Would you say I covered all the, like, how to catch us live angles there, Door? Is there anything I missed?
No, but that might also get updated here in a couple weeks, too.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of big changes. Oh, please also, one last thing. We have Door, I should say, because I haven't had anything to do with it. Door has recently resurrected Podnuts and Podnuts Daily, and he's doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much, sir. I'm caught up on those shows now, and they're all amazing.
It's fun.
I listened to the episode with Martin Abando twice, back to back, because it was so fun. Because, I mean, Martin's obviously a big part of this show, too. So to hear him talk to you, I just listened to it back to back. Very, very fun. Very cool.
Dude, I'm going to tell everybody right now, if you do listen to that cast, and if you do not pick up on Martin's passion, and this is not a word I'm using as, like, I usually use it loosely because it is, but I'm not this time. That man has desire and passion to learn, to fix, and to, dare I say, serve his customers better than anyone else can, kind of thing. He is the kind of person, I have little doubt in my mind, he's going to be as successful as he wants to be. And at the same time, if you listen to the man, he's having honest to goodness fun as he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of guy, I just like hearing him talk. So on that cast, I tried not to talk much. I wanted to just let him roll.
Passion, yes, but also enthusiasm. Yeah. And yes, with those combined and how he's talking about it, you could definitely tell that he's having a lot of fun during his journey. And I was very pleased to learn that he's an EMT, because all I'm saying is that I might need one at OLF this year.
And he's
going to be there. Oh, he has some experience in the medical field. I'm not saying he's going to need to crack my rib cage, but I might need one.
Well, just yeah, I mean, you never know. We might have tainted cheese.
Yeah.
Or something. So we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared.
Martin, if I had to build a utility belt out of pond nutsians, you would be at my front right because I'm right-handed. Let's just say that. Okay? You're there, man. You made it to the belt. Congratulations.
The batarang moves down a notch.
That's right. And anyway, what I was getting to by mentioning that is that if you are a tech, or if you're a business professional in the tech field and you would like to be on either Podnuts or Podnuts Daily, please contact Door. Where should they send an email in order to properly submit an inquiry for being a guest on one of those two shows?
Easiest way is mail@podnuts.com.
There you go. Yeah, we're looking for more guests for Daily and for Podnuts. Door and I are looking for some more people to bring on there. So if you feel like you can contribute, or if you're a fan of the show and you can just bring anything to it, please contact us at mail@pods.com, and we will see what we can do about getting you into a slot and getting you on the show and on the air soon. So thank you very much. I am Cody Cooper. You can contact me on Google+. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Or you can send me an email at cody@podnuts.com, which no one has done yet. Nobody. Because I haven't been advertising it for very long. But if you want to be the first, I will give you a limited edition high five over the airwaves if you're the first person to email me at cody@podnuts.com. Or if you happen to be attending a Linux Fest, I will give it to you in person, and we can get photo/video of it commemorating your wonderful achievement. You're welcome.
And get it on a shirt. They can get it on a shirt.
Yeah, we'll get it on a shirt. There you go. I would love nothing more to see someone at a fest with a photo of me on a shirt giving them the limited edition high five. That's just, that's Podnutsian gold right there. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. I'm going to quit rambling. Thank you very much for coming out, guys, live and listening to the show. Thank you for all everybody who downloaded it. And remember, Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.